Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Tyler wants to get in. He's been waiting a while. Let's talk about Dirk here on ESPN 97.5.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
How you doing, Tyler?
Good, man. Good. Hey, I just wanted to call something I heard a while ago. Tom Swanson was talking on, he was doing some podcast, some interview, something like that. I wonder if you guys ever heard the story about Dirk at the Nike European Summit in 1997 before he came to the league.
No.
Tell it.
He gave Scottie Pippen 52 points, and from then on, Charles Barkley said he's going to come to the league and he's going to be great. But Dirk was an 18-year-old kid who thought he was going to go to the Army. He didn't think he was going to go to the NBA. But yeah, he gave Scottie Pippen 52 points in the Nike Summit, and they Charles Barkley said he was going to be great in the NBA, and that's before he even made plans of going to the league. He planned on going to join the German Army. But yeah, man, I've been a Rockets fan my whole life, but growing up, I was always really tall, and I wasn't much of a shooter, man. But Dirk was one of my favorite players, and I think he's had a hell of a career, man. He's probably one of the second best international player of all time, yeah, I just wanted to call it and, tell that story. I didn't know if too many people heard that. I'll take it easy, man. Have a good day.
All right, Tom. We appreciate it, Tyler. Thanks, man.
You know, what's interesting to me about Dirk is that Dirk is a big man without really, so he came into the league. He was super rail thin. He came in without a real post game, and he developed and he's not quick off the dribble. So here's a guy who is not a low post player. He's not by nature. He was a skilled big man coming in, but he was not overly athletic or overly quick with the ball in his hands. He wasn't really a beat you off the dribble type of guy, not on a regular basis. I mean, he really was more Larry Bird than he was, anything else that we see today. And he still made it work. Dirk made it work. He started developing the mid-range. His mid-range was deadly. His three-point range was deadly. He developed that one-foot, step-back fall-away that couldn't be blocked because he was just too tall. He found ways. He wasn't the quickest. He didn't have a low-post game. And he developed into a deadly player because he just figured out what he did well. And he really accentuated what he did well. And he accentuated his height and length. And I think that's why he ended up being such a great player.
So, I Skip Bayless be damned. It's the dream, Dirk, right? 1 and 2.
Yep.
Manu 3.
All-time. Over Tony Parker?
Over Tony Parker. I
feel like we're skipping out.
Tim Duncan is
okay, he, so let's take Dream out of it because he played college ball. Let's take Tim Duncan out of it. Let's take them out because international players, those guys, Dream had three Final Fours. Tim Duncan was a four-year starter. Let's go with guys who came fresh, you know, overseas and had to step into a brand new world of NBA basketball. How about that? That's Manu. That's Tony Parker. That's Dirk. Yes, that's all those guys. Drazen Petrovic, you know, you're going to have to go back now. You're going to have to go to Drazen. You're going to have to go to, I guess, Sabonis. You can't really count because he came over when his best days were behind him physically because of those Achilles tears. Who's the other one, Dell, that we were talking about the other day? Not Petrovic, but what about Šarūnas Marcilonis or Detlef Schrempf? Man, those dudes were good. Detlef could ball. What about Rick Smits? I mean, Rick Smits is not Tony Parker. But Rick Smits was good, but he was not Tony Parker or Manu. Yeah, it's Dirk. To me, Dirk and then Manu probably. And then I guess Tony Parker over Drazen Petrovic or Detlef Schrempf.
I don't know. Wasn't Drazen was like unbelievable till he died, right? Was it Drazen?
Yeah.
Drazen was an unbelievable player until he died. And
yeah, dude, Drazen was.
Drazen was
awesome.
A beast.
The dragon?
Yeah. No, I'd still go Dirk, though. If you're eliminating guys that went to college here.
I might go Drazen over Tony Parker for number three.
You might. That's how talented that dude was.
Are we forgetting somebody? Oh, Carl Herrera. I'd go Herrera, too. I played at U of H.
Oh, what about Steve Nash? Oh, no, but he played college.
UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah, he played college.
And Canada's not really international.
Canada's international. It's not really.
Rick Fox isn't international.
What about Yao?
Yeah, I count Yao. Where do we put Yao? We're just going to just slander Yao like this and not even mention him? You can't put Yao ahead of Manu or Dirk. Can you put him ahead of Drazen?
Oh, wow. Hall of Famer. Drazen's a Hall of Famer, too, though. What about Dikembe? Oh, no, he played at Georgetown, so that doesn't count. Man, that's a tough one. Where do you put Yao on that list?
I'm looking up Drazen's numbers right now. I mean, he was such a deadly catch and shoot. God, he played. How many years do you think he played in the league?
Who, Drazen?
Yeah.
No idea.
You're going to be shocked.
11.
He played a grand total of 6 years.
Really?
How many starts do you think he had?
He
played 249. Yeah, okay, you're looking. These numbers, no, Drazen Petrovic does not get a nod over. I'm wrong. He does not get a nod over Tony Parker. He averaged 15.4 points a game.
His last two years.
What's his name that played with the Kings? I always get Drazen and that guy mixed.
There were two. There's a Hidu.
There's Vladu.
Turkoglu. And then
Orlando.
Stojakovic.
Yeah, Peja. Where does Peja end up? Peja is on here, right? Wouldn't Peja be ahead of Drazen? The Dragon was coming on, but he died right when he was coming on. You're right. He doesn't. I mean, Peja is the one who played way longer. Peja is the one I think I was more thinking of. He averaged 17 points a game, 665 starts. He played until he was 33. He played 12 years in the league. Peja was a career 40% three-point shooter. That's the guy.
Yeah, but right. They did a doc, though, on Drazen.
No, Drazen was fine. Yeah. Peja averaged over 20 points a game 4 years. Like, in his first 6 years, he averaged over 20 a game for four or five years. No,
And we'll find out where Giannis ends up on this deal.
Well, Giannis is going to end up right at the top.
Yeah.
Stays healthy, it's going to be Dirk and Giannis.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, it probably
will. And who do you have to thank for that? Is it Nike? We say Jordan because it is Jordan. Is it Nike? Like, where does it go? Does it go to the Dream Team? Does it go to Nike's branding? Does it go to Jordan? Do you take the guy who they branded Jordan? Who's responsible? Is it David Stern? Who's truly responsible for the international? I think it might have been. I know it seems trite, but I really think it might have been Dream Team.
The Dream Team made what?
that really created the explosion of international basketball today. It's a substantially better product. I think Dream Team, we like to say Jordan, but the fact is, I don't think it was until the Dream Team where the other countries really started to, it really clicked. We remember how bad Angola was. Angola's way more competitive now than they ever were. And we've had some pretty good French players come in. Michael Pietras, Boris Diaw, obviously Tony Parker. There's French, the German influence with Detlef Schrempf and clearly Dirk Nowitzki, Argentinian influence. I mean, you've got little pockets of players from a variety of countries, but I think it was Dream Team that really set it off, because I've heard more than one player mention the Dream Team as a catalyst for them. You know, it was like the collection of all-stars that they saw wreck the international community. I think that's really what got a lot of people going.
Yeah, AJ and Tom Ball wants to come in here. He's bringing up a name we forgot. AJ, what say?
Hey, what's the deal, brothers?
How you doing?
Come on now. Vlade Divac, man. You forget him. Yeah. You forget Steve Nash, too. But Vlade Divac, come on now.
Yeah. So we can't do Nash. Nash is against our rules. You couldn't play American college basketball. But Vlade, as soon
he's
as
from
we
Canada.
Started
playing,
yeah, we know that. So is the Dream. But we're eliminating guys who played college basketball.
He played Yeah, he played at Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Santa Clara.
Yeah, UC Santa
Same
Clara.
Same thing.
But Vlade, I realized Vlade as soon as we were going through Peja, yeah. Keto, Vlade. Oh, yeah, Vlade.
No,
Vlade. I mean, Vlade was part of that Lakers run. And
he'd be
Vlade
pissed.
Vlade helped pissed. He helped to invent a major part of basketball now. Flopping.
Vlade. All right, 813 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3777. Enough about that. Let's talk about our Rockets, Lance.
Let's talk about your Houston Rockets. You know, this Saturday is going to be the 7th annual dog walk. They have that going on for you, and it's a great way. Some people want you to bring dogs to the park. The Rockets say, yeah, bring your dog to the park. Herman Park. Why don't you bring your dog to Herman Park and be part of the dog walk? You can go there and register for that opportunity at rockets.com, the dog walk. They've got a 2.75-mile course. They've got a 1-mile course for you. So you're going to find something that's really cool for you and your dog to be part of and to take part in that. But don't forget, when you do that, you are also going to get a goodie bag. You will get a ticket to a future Rockets game, and you're going to get a T-shirt. That's all participants are going to get that. All you have to do is go register at rockets.com/thedogwalk, and that is going to be taking place this Saturday. It's the 7th annual Houston Rockets Dog Walk. It's presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, and that's benefiting the Herman Park Conservancy. So this is going to a great cause. Vodka is involved. Well, you're going to have to probably bring your own. I don't know if they're going to have it on site, but I do know that you can go do that this Saturday. It's going to be a perfect event for you and your dog to get out, stroll around, and enjoy yourself at Herman Park. Make sure you go to rockets.com/thedogwalk.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 817 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. Let's switch it up. I want to talk about so we got a list, Lance, of top young players in Major League Baseball. And one Josh James made that list. Larry Brown put it out there. 10 young players: Harrison Bader, Cardinals outfielder, Pete Alonso, first baseman for the Mets, Adalberto Mondesi, shortstop for the Royals. Ramon Laureano, I don't know if you remember him. Last year he had a game-winning hit against your Houston Astros. He also played a mean outfield. Nick Pivetta, starting pitcher for the Phillies. Ahmed Rosario, shortstop for the Mets. Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton has started this season. Byron Buxton was one of the top players drafted if not the first overall pick. I forget which one. Maybe he was second.
Way up there.
He was way up there. I forget where he was picked, but he was a guy who came out with a lot of fanfare. He hasn't really lived up to it all that much, but he started this preseason. In his first two games, he has two homers and 10 RBIs, which is something that the Twins are really, really excited about. Eloy Jimenez, outfielder for the White Sox. Tyler Glasnow, starting pitcher for the Rays. And Josh James. Now, Josh James has a quad injury, so he is out of the rotation already. Colin McHugh is banged up as well. So there is, I mean, look, as thin as it is already, because, you know, you lose 60%, no Keuchel, no McCullers, no Morton. As thin as it is already and pulling from your bullpen, now you've got injuries that are added on to this thing. You may be in a forced situation where if Whitley, and I know it, there is absolutely, have you seen, what is it, Tatis, the Toronto Blue Jays outfielder? Oh, no. It's Vlad Guerrero's son. Vlad Guerrero's son. They're already, the general manager for the Blue Jays is saying, he's not ready for Major League. Really? He's not ready for Major League Baseball? When everyone in the world knows that this dude is so ready, but they don't want to start his clock. And it's a joke. It really is a joke. I mean, it was a joke with George Springer, and it's why George Springer is pretty pissed off. George Springer is going to be 31 years old before he becomes a free agent. And it's stuck in his craw. And he's pissed off. He's hitting 50 homers in the minors for a team, for an organization that isn't winning 60 games in a season, and he can't get called up. But this Forrest Whitley thing is going to be interesting, because if he throws really well this spring and you've got injuries and you're, you know, it's going to be Miley and Peacock almost for sure now. Now we'll see if McHugh can get through his injuries. We'll see. And it looks like Josh James is out of the rotation. You're almost going to be forced to bring up a Corbin Martin or a Forrest Whitley, because this timetable is here. It's now. This is it. This is now. But I'm almost positive that there's absolutely no way that Forrest Whitley will be part of this rotation.
He may not be now, but once again, just like the Houston Rockets season, with whatever happened in the past is part of the history of the season, but it's not defining. It doesn't define what happens moving forward. I think it's the same thing. Even if he doesn't start, it's not going to define what happens moving forward. There is a good chance that if he pitches well, that he will be in the rotation. It's just going to, there's a certain timetable for it. The McHugh sore back thing, that's going to be a concern. That's going to be a concern, because you don't, you know, back injuries, as we know, can be lingering with players. And so you really can't afford, you're already thin with your starters. You are at least thin on guys who can actually go substantial innings for you, just six plus. And that's going to be something to really monitor. It's something that you and I have already, and I think most Astro fans, if you're realistic, are a little concerned about it. You're hopeful with the young guys, but you're concerned because you know the Astros probably are not going to bring the young guys up because of the timetable. So, yeah, it's a little alarming.
Yeah. Well, and here's the deal is McHugh threw three innings twice last year. He averaged 5 2/3 his last season of starting. So to think that he's going to be over six innings per start is really unrealistic. Really unrealistic. Because even when he was a starter for his third year, he still didn't make it to six innings. And last year, he only went three twice. He went a bunch of times. He went two innings. But that was it. I mean, so to think that he's going to have the stamina and ability to get back and be a seven-inning guy is just really unrealistic, which taxes the bullpen even further, a bullpen that's without him, and he was a stalwart in that bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's enough arms in the bullpen. The bullpen doesn't bother me, especially in the early stages of the year. That doesn't bother me as much, and I do think there are a lot of arms. I just really, you don't have to get to a bullpen if your starting pitching is doing well. But the amount of pressure now on 1 and 2 to be very, very good, I mean, there's not really a lot of leeway for Verlander or Cole to get off to unimpressive starts based on our expectations of the rotation. But we don't know yet. We've got to let everything play out. But, you know, it just from a statistical standpoint and from a probability standpoint, I would say the probability is that you're not going to really dominate people 3 through 5. We don't really see those kind of arms at 3 through 5, and those kind of arms maybe exist in the minor leagues right now, and we'll see if they get a legitimate shot. But I'm with you. I just think the window is so right now that I would much rather have one of your plus minor league starters get their chances now. And the reason for me is that you don't know what's going to happen with Verlander. And so I think it's important that guys get starts now. Let's get them. I know it's one extra year. You could kick them back. But you know what? That one extra year, is it worth it when you need to get them valuable starts and experience on the big league level? Because you don't know how long. This could be Verlander's last year with the Astros. You don't know.
Yeah. Have you checked out Davinsky's ERA?
Is it great?
Well, if 108 is great.
Wow, that's high. That's good, right? Is it good to be 108?
Yeah. Because
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. He pitched a third of an inning, gave up 3 hits and 4 runs, 4 earned. That's 108 ERA.
Feels like a small sample size.
It is a small. Well, I don't know. He did face 4 batters. And gave him 4 runs.
All of them.
So that was.
Maybe he was just working on a cutter.
He could have been. We don't know. I really, really don't know. All I know is he finished up really, really poorly last year. Last July, his ERA was 23.
Can I ask you a yes or no question? Just answer yes or no. Was Devo a former gang member?
Yes.
Do you want to keep talking about Devo's ERA?
Not particularly. No. Okay. I mean, I'm not. Okay, scarier. Devo or Ariza?
Ariza, 100%.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I've heard stories about Ariza.
Ariza's, yeah.
Ask Joel Blank about Ariza. He'll tell you that guys around the league, when Ariza talks, then they just say, okay, Trevor. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even care that his name is Trevor. Like, that doesn't even fade him. Usually you would hear somebody says something, you'd say, shut up, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what you would say. Mm-hmm. You know, like if Trevor tried to tell you to do something, like if Dell was named Trevor, and we'd say, shut up, Trevor, if he tried to tell us something. But Dell has, for whatever reason, Dell has a little bit more, you know, snap to it. Trevor.
But his real name, what if you said, oh, shut up, Delalolale or whatever it is? Is that your name?
First thing I say, that's not my name, and I would say, watch your mouth.
But you know what? Like you'd say, if you didn't know anything about him, you said, hey, there's a guy named Trevor Ariza. Where do you think he's from? I don't know. Austin Westlake? His name is Trevor? Is he from Austin Westlake?
Yeah, but Ariza.
Yeah, Ariza's trickier.
Yeah, that makes it tricky. You know what else is tricky? Not being able to have sex. Well, that's not exactly. I don't know if it's tricky. I think it sucks, okay? If you're having issues, gentlemen, there is one way to get it done, to get out of that deal and into lovemaking again, and doing it for $5. I mean, what can you buy for $5 these days? Maybe this is the best value of anything in the world. Because if you can have relations again for $5, I mean, you can't even get a hamburger for $5. What's better, making love or a hamburger or the $5 meal at Burger King? What's better? Love making. And that's a rhetorical question because there's only one answer. That's not rhetorical. That's actually just one answer. It's obvious. Dell, are you sure? I mean, you're kind of shrugging your shoulders. You kind of like the $5 deal?
Just depends on who you're making love with.
Well, that's true, but I mean, just the act, I think, is better than eating a hamburger.
I understand it's a great deal, but if we're being clear, the person on the other side determines how great the deal it is.
Well, yeah, but let's just say it's a good...
Who you're with, yes, yes, love making for okay. $5 is
$5.
Much better.
It's the best deal in the world. That's better the best deal in the world. And that's what it is. 4hymns.com/John5. You want to make love again for $5? I don't know that there's a better deal in the world. Fourhymns.com/John5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, my God. When this Bryce Harper stuff, can please call me when it's over. He's a good player, but my God. And Machado is a good player, but these 10-year, $300 million contracts are, it's unbelievable.
If you're Philly, Bryce Harper obviously is not into you.
No.
You should pull his offer because he's just sitting not there. That he won't you. Commit. He won't commit. And now there's the new article is, well, Giants may be willing to do the 10-year deal for Harper. If you're the Giants, who are you in competition with? You're not competition with Philly.
I'll tell you, I'd have a lot more respect for him if he does a 4-year deal with the Dodgers. He wants to win.
He just says, I want to be there.
I want to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh, by the way, if you're any good, he's a career 900 OPS guy. He had a couple of really unbelievable years. 1109 OPS, led the league in slugging, on base, home runs. MVP, yes, he had an unbelievable year. He backed that up with an 814 OPS. The next year, came right back with an 8.4. This guy is way too up and down. Batting average ain't all that, but last year he hit, in the last 3 years, he's hit 243 and 249 with a 319 in there. He's too up and down. And oh, by the way, they were, all that talent that they had, and they didn't do anything. The Nationals have never, they just can't do anything. With Strasburg and Scherzer and Harper and, unbelievable up and down the lineup and nothing. And they couldn't get anything done. So I don't know. I'm just so, good Lord, can you please sign? Because I'm so sick of it. I'd hate the Dodgers to get him if you want to know the truth. I don't think there's anybody, and again, I think this is like the Eastern Conference and Western Conference in the NBA. Whoever comes out of the American League is winning it. That's the Western Conference. You got the three best teams in baseball right there in the American League. Mm-hmm. And then the Dodgers come after those three.
You think that, before we get back to baseball, you think that still exists in the NBA? I know it was last year. You think it's the same way this year?
I think it's still the Warriors. Now, I think Milwaukee has come on and Toronto's come on.
There's more balance.
There's more balance this year than there has been in the last two decades.
Yeah, despite all of the offseason talk about how all the all-stars in the West, I think you'd go 1, Warriors, 2-3, East, and then you would figure out the rest after that.
Yeah, probably. It doesn't help that LeBron and the Lakers suck so bad.
No.
They were supposed to be. They were supposed to be great. They're not. They're not a very good basketball team. But the Celtics have hurt the East.
Ooh.
They're terrible.
We got some Kyler Murray news.
Height,
5'10", and 0.1, whatever that means. 207 pounds. Now, he... So he'll probably lose weight, but he ain't going to lose height.
We'll see how he runs with 207. If he's still fast...
I had a scout... I had actually a national director of scouting tell me he thought Kyler Murray was going to be in the... He might be under 5'9". And you know what? He didn't even care. It didn't even matter to him because of the explosive play capability. But the 5'10 is a big, to me, it's a big deal, a really big deal.
And that comes a tweet from Pro Football Talk. So Kyler Murray measures over 5'10".
5'10.1?
Whatever that means, I don't know.
Well, they go by eighths.
We haven't seen hand size yet.
5'10 and 1/8?
I guess that's what that means. So, I guess Arizona. Bye-bye Josh Rosen, I guess. Who knows?
That's good. So, well, and here's the deal. And Steve Keim, you've got that sound. He does not, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, he is not a believer in Josh Rosen. I'm telling you, Kyler Murray will be the first pick of the draft. And then you figure it out, right, with Rosen, right, Lance?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that's what you have to do. But if you're Cliff and the team, you really have to keep it wide open. Like, you cannot shut the door on anything. Because I don't think they're – to me, the Cardinals really don't care what the measuring stick says on Kyler Murray. I don't think they cared about this at all. And frankly, his weight is going to be a product of packing it on. He's not going to play at 207. That's not his frame. So I'm not even fooled by the weight. The weight is going to be under 200 that he plays at. So the weight's irrelevant to me. You already know going in, he's a guy that if he gets hit, he could get hurt. And we all know that. So nothing changes. I think they have to be okay with the person, okay with him as a leader. They have to get a feel and a read for him when they play poker with him and kind of get a, you know, read who the person is. A lot will depend on what they find out in the background when they talk to other Oklahoma players, when they talk to other Oklahoma coaches, not just Lincoln Riley. When they go talk to Kevin Sumlin and Spavital, they're going to talk to everybody. You have to do your due diligence. And let's remember now, Cliff Kingsbury's got a really good relationship with Kevin Sumlin and with Jake Spavital. So they'll find out the A&M stuff, if that was an issue or not, and they'll do all their due diligence. But when it's all said and done, my guess is they didn't bring Cliff Kingsbury in there with his – now, Cliff Kingsbury's offense works just fine with a Jared Goff-type quarterback, and that's potentially what Josh Rosen is. So let's not act like he doesn't fit Cliff Kingsbury's offense. He does. Cliff Kingsbury's offense is not a zone read type. It's a throw from the pocket type of offense. So Josh Rosen fits. I just don't think Josh Rosen is a leader of men. And I heard from a coach on the staff last year that he was not the dude in the locker room at all. That was a big concern with some of the coaches in there, is that young quarterback, and that was a concern coming in, was not going to be able to relate to some of the, some of the harder edge dudes in the locker room. So we'll find out. But if you're Arizona, you don't know what you're going to do yet. And my guess is 5'10 to 5'9 didn't matter one single bit to the Arizona Cardinals.
Hand size, 9 4/8, arm length.
Oh, that's great. That's 9.5.
Yeah, 28.5. I find this tweet interesting only because it's weird. Albert Breer says Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray came in at 5'10 1/8 and 207 pounds. Source said big win for him. What? Did he grow between the end of the college year? What do you mean big win? He was either going to be 5'10 or not. That it was just people speculating about
Oklahoma
what he
was. Said, well, that's it. Though. But Oklahoma said 5'9 7/8. Yeah. Oklahoma said
I get
that.
It, but the big win thing makes it sound like Kyler Murray did something to get taller. He was always going to be that size no matter what happened.
No, it just means he measured win? Better than they thought.
That's fine, but it wasn't like Kyler Murray did something to get there. If he was 5'10", he was going to be 5'10 no matter what.
Maybe he slouches. I don't know. Maybe he's a slouch.
Man, I'm glad Kyler Murray did what he had to do to get to 5'10". He was always 5'10 and 1/8.
Well, not always.
Well, when he was a major college football player.
Yeah, but he just looks smaller. He looks like a little fella with little velociraptor arms. Worried about his little velociraptor arms.
No, it just looks funny, but I'm more worried about his hands. 9 4/8, 9.5-inch hands are good-sized hands for a quarterback. That's fine. And I told you guys I didn't think that was going to be an issue because of the way he manipulates a ball with his pump fakes and everything. He doesn't look like he has any problem. He looks like he has strong hands, good-sized hands.
Yeah, he's always running around with the ball out, which he'll have to fix, I guess. But when he's running around doing all his little person things, the ball's always extended like a loaf of bread. Doesn't appear to have an issue holding on to the football.
Yeah. What's his name? Steve Craig or the
Dave Craig.
Dave Craig ruined it for every quarterback. Festival. Pardon me?
You know who else fumbles a lot? I think it's your boy from Oklahoma State last year. I think it was him that I remember in pump fakes and stuff like that. It would just fly out of his head like he couldn't control. And there's somebody in this year's draft too, maybe it's Greer, where there's just random fumbles where it looks like that he shouldn't fumble the ball. And that's why I can't wait to see the hand size. I'll have to go see which quarterback I wrote up that just it didn't take much to make this guy fumble. That's a really, really big deal to teams. Giving the ball away, we all know, is. And quarterbacks who fumble, that's a major, major deal. Hand size is a major deal to
Dave,
teams.
Dave Craig ruined it for everybody. Jerk. I mean, everybody. Now we got to find out how big your hands are. All right? You can't play. You can't play if you're... Yeah, it's okay to be 5'9", but God forbid you have 8.5-inch hands. No, you can't play 8.5-inch hands. There's no way. 713-780-3776, 842 ESPN 97.5. If you'd like to get in here, you are more than welcome to do that. I want to talk about the peeps over at Luxor Staffing. Luxor Staffing is fantastic. I mean, we had Katie in here the other day, and she wanted to talk about somebody who is so excited about Luxor Staffing. She's been working there for 25 years. They've got over 100 years of experience of staffing companies. Man, the management team is excellent. But, and they have a, you know, here's the thing is they have a bunch, they staff a bunch of different businesses, and they've got one here right now. When Katie was in here, she said, tell people if they want to work, if there's anybody out there that is looking for jobs, we have to, in Water County, we have got a bunch of job openings right now. So if anybody out there, if you're not happy, if you worked in a factory or you have any kind of skills, factory skills at all, and you're not happy where you're at, go to LuxorStaffing.com, L-U-X-O-R Staffing.com, and there might be a great job out there for you. And here's the deal, if you're an employer, and you're like, well, you know, I don't know. Do we really want to go to a staffing company? I mean, the advantages are tremendous. You don't have to worry about those employees for 90 days. And Luxor Staffing says, if you want us to staff your place forever, we'll do that too. And we'll take all of the liability of all of you. But you want to find out whether or not that employee is good for your culture. That's the most important thing. And while you're finding that out, Luxor Staffing is responsible for them. So if you're looking for that staffing company, Luxor Staffing is tremendous. 713-429-4140. 713-429-4140 or LuxorStaffing.com.
ESPN 97.5. Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 848 ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. Lance is hanging out in Indianapolis. Kyler Murray, the big star. I mean, boy, ESPN, good Lord. It's LeBron, Bryce Harper, Kyler Murray.
That's all it is.
Oh, my God.
And Antonio Brown.
And Antonio Brown.
That's the only topics that they have. That's the only ones they care about.
Yeah, Antonio Brown now sat down. Who was it that did it? Who did the interview with him? I forget.
Salters? I don't know.
I forget who it was, but he says that that he was disrespected there. That Kevin Colbert called him all kid. You know, it's Ben, and he has all those kids, and so that's offensive. And you know, now Antonio Brown he has said this in the past. He says, you know, Ben is an owner's guy. He's not a player's guy. He's an owner's guy. He acts like management and ownership, and he bosses everybody around, calls them out publicly. you know, he's not on the side of the players. He's on the side of management. Okay. And you know, maybe there might be something to that. We don't know. We're not in that locker room. There might be something to that.
He didn't used to be owner side. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Antonio is Mr. Anti-Authority right now, so I have a hard time taking anything he says seriously. He's in the news every single day. It's over. I don't. Who cares? Ben's not going to go down as the greatest. I think Ben has matured. Ben probably is a little tired of Antonio's stuff. Ben hasn't always been the best teammate. Ben hasn't always been the best. I haven't always had the greatest amount of respect for Ben. But whatever, it's great. Whatever, move on. I mean, there's nothing else that can be said about this Steelers story. There's nothing. Antonio, brother, they're waiting to trade him. I can't wait till he gets traded so we can shut the bleep up and move on to something else. Who cares? At this point, I don't care what his relationship is with Ben. I really don't. He's not a Steeler anymore. He's going to be gone. Who cares?
Yeah,
Ben's got two more years in the league max anyway.
But Antonio, so much drama. Good Lord. He really needs that. After the Instagram, and now he's got this thing out there where he's got a blonde mustache now. I mean, stay out of the spotlight for a minute. So maybe you can be traded to another team. He's making himself untradeable with the amount of money that, you know, the Mr. Big Chest, the amount of that pay me my money. That's all I care about is the money.
I know.
I mean, you're just making yourself. Do you want to keep on playing?
Does an NFL team believe Antonio Brown won't play well because he talks a lot and he's a distraction? Does the NFL team actually believe that?
No, I think that, but you saw the distraction he can be in the locker room.
That's true.
I mean,
I don't think the play is a concern right now. I haven't seen a drop off in play.
No.
He wasn't targeted as much. And I think there could be a concern like, huh, is Juju, is he better than Antonio? Is Antonio taking a step back? I think you could say that after Ben. I just think Ben will play favorites, and I think Juju's his guy right now.
Well, and right, and you saw how Antonio acts on the sideline when he's not getting targeted. I mean, good Lord. Now, how many guys have the kind of pull Ben has in the Steelers organization with a couple of titles? I mean, not many. So what will he act like if Garoppolo throws him three balls in a game? I mean, good Lord.
I would be concerned.
Yeah, I would be very concerned.
I would be concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo if he decided to only target Antonio Brown three times. I'm like, what are you doing?
I would be concerned as well.
What are you doing? What are you looking at?
Don't forget, you got a guy that doesn't have the Ben's credentials. You have a young head coach as well that's trying to make his way in the league. You don't think that overbearing personality in that locker room could be a problem?
Probably, but all I'm saying is, can we name another 49ers wide receiver?
No one can.
Then throw the ball to Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I can name them, but they're not really.
Yeah, you. Yeah,
Marquise Goodwin. I mean, but that's, yeah. You know.
The tight end's not bad.
Yeah, no, he's good.
No, but Antonio Brown should be getting, he should be getting 7-8 targets a game minimum.
At least.
He should, yeah.
Yeah.
And that offense is based. Kyle Shanahan's offense is a little bit different. It's more like Gary's, but last time I checked, Andre got plenty of targets, so.
Yeah.
I think it should work out if he goes there. And I think most people believe he'll go there or Green Bay. The Green Bay thing makes sense just because you need a number one for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is now in year like number 14 or whatever. He's been around a while. And he still can play at a high level, but he needs some help around him.
Well, and that's a guy that Antonio Brown could respect.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, right? And, you know, Aaron Rodgers could tell him, shut the bleep up. You know? All right?
I don't think it would go great if he did that, but yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is he would respect him.
Yeah. Back to our conversation about all-time European or foreign players. We disrespected the Gasol brothers. Lauri Markkanen apparently is going to be an all-time great.
AK-47 legit deserves to be in that conversation.
Andre Kirilenko. Yeah, yes. Vlade Divac, which we did eventually mention. No, Sam Cassell is not on this list. He's not an alien. Who else? Popeye Jones. He's not a. at Foreigner. I don't know why. I don't know why that those things came up. So yeah, but a lot of comments about that conversation.
Where does Sergio Yule rank on that list?
Not. Shut up! Stop trolling, Dell. You know Sergio Yule was going to be good one, at one point. Everyone talked about him.
Bokey Nakbar.
Do you remember Sergio Yule, John? Do you remember the hot rocket name?
Wasn't he a guy that they?
This is the year Sergio comes over. This is the year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, Vasily is a name that we didn't mention once.
No, but he actually came over. But Sergio's like, yeah. This is it.
Yep.
This is it.
This is the year.
It's never looked better. This is the year he comes over and makes a difference. Is he being held captive? No, he's just a star overseas. He doesn't want to come.
God, I hope that's not Forrest Whitley. This is it. This is the year. This is Forrest Whitley year.
Well, you know what the difference is? He's not going to love minor leagues so much. Like, I'm just not coming. I love the minor leagues too much.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't know if Fresno can be really appealing. Are they in Fresno anymore? Or is it Round Rock?
No, they're Round Rock.
Round Rock can be really appealing.
No, it can't. Well, it is Austin, and no one can ever leave.
No.
Isn't that considered the Hill Country?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's got some amazing antique stores there, Del.
There's amazing all through the Hill Country. Yep. Amazing golf, too. 856 ESPN 97.5. Raheel's going to join us. I don't know if he's going to be here on time to join us. We'll see.
Doesn't appear to be.
He was having issues, apparently. Right now, though, let's talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. My man, Jeff Baranoff at Absolute Marble and Granite, helping you help your business or your home for 47 years now. I don't know. No, Jeff's not. I don't even think of Jeff's old 47 years old, but he's been doing it a while. He's been doing this. He's been having business for a long time. He's doing pretty damn well, too, by the way. I mean, he does entire hotels, puts in all the vanities or countertops, and he does bars. He does restaurants. He does, I mean, what's your business? I mean, he can help you out if you need that new countertop or whatever it is that you've got to have. Jeff Aronoff here right now, Absolute Marble and Granite. Waiting for you to give him a call. 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. So you get your price. He gives you the estimate, and then you go, 97.5 listener, I want 20% off of that. And then he's stuck, and there's nothing he can do about it. And oh, well, screw you, Jeff. Here's the deal, is all you got to do is give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. He'll come to your home or your business and give you that estimate and help you pick exactly what it is that you need. 713-880-2822.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.